How long, O Lord? How long? The words of the prophet Habakkuk begin our first reading today. In that phrase, how long, O Lord? We see that all throughout Scripture. Just look at the book of Psalms, and it seems half of them almost contain this phrase. Lord, we are struggling. We are amidst difficulty. How long will it go on? Hear Habakkuk. I cry for help, but you do not listen. I cry out to you, violence, but you do not intervene. Why do you let me see ruin? Why must I look on this misery? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and clamorous discord. How long, O Lord? You do not listen. Strong words from the prophet Habakkuk. And yet how much, just right on the button with what so many of us go through all the time. In fact, probably right now, there are a lot of us in this church that are weighed down with all kinds of burdens. We're not here today because everything is going well and everything is going right, and we're just incredibly holy people that like to come together with other incredibly holy people. No, one of the best reasons that we could ever be here in church today is because we almost didn't want to come because we are so messed up, because we feel like our families are in trouble, our city is in trouble, the world is in trouble, and we wonder, how long, O Lord? Maybe you are here today and you are just at the end of your rope and you don't know how much longer you can hang on. Can I just say that that is probably the best reason of all to be here. And lest you think that you're the only one, be assured that probably the family sitting next to you that you always look at and say, gosh, I wish we had it all together like they did. They are looking at you and thinking the same thing. Meanwhile, all of us are just a mess and in some ways have to cry out, how long, O Lord? The problem is that we know that somehow the fact that we would cry out, how long, O Lord, that we cry to the Lord, means that instinctively we know that God can do something about this. And we actually get kind of upset when it seems that God is not doing something about our problems. We know that God, therefore, is powerful enough to do something to fix the mess that we're in. We know he's all-knowing, so we know that he knows about the problem. And perhaps most difficult, we know that God is all-loving. So why not do something if he loves us and knows about it and is powerful? I don't have any easy answer to what is ultimately there, one of life's most difficult questions. But I will say that we see the same kind of thing in the gospel. The apostles are probably also going through a difficult time, and they ask Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. It sounds like such a good thing to ask for, but behind that is probably the idea that, Lord, we don't get it. We don't understand. We're doing good, and the Jewish leaders want to kill you. The Romans want to kill us. We're rejected all over the place. Jesus, we don't understand. Increase our faith, because we're at the point we might want to give up. So I think all of us are in good company today if we come with that kind of frustration. But hear the words of Habakkuk then. The Lord answered and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablets so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time, presses on to fulfillment, and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. I think that's the answer, that God will take away the pain, the suffering. Does he see it? Yes. Can he do something about it? Yes. But in his time, not ours. God has his vision, and it presses on to fulfillment. And as we heard in our opening prayer at Mass today, God wants to give us even things that we dare not ask in prayer because we don't even know the kinds of things God could bring about in answer to our prayers. You know, as I hear both of our readings today from Habakkuk and from the Gospel, I'm reminded of that great piece of Catholic literature, that fine art created in 2007, the blockbuster movie Evan Almighty, with Morgan Freeman as God. In case you hadn't seen the movie, I will, of course, put a little video up for you. But this is a classic movie, really. Okay, not exactly. But Morgan Freeman as God. This is great. I mean, it's just good stuff. Now, in this movie, Evan Baxter, is met by God. Morgan Freeman, God. But God, who comes to him and tells Evan that, I want you to build an ark, like Noah, back in the original story in Genesis. And so Evan struggles, but eventually he decides he will listen to God and build an ark. And of course, he's ridiculed. His family is upset with him. He's the laughingstock of everyone around him. And meanwhile, his wife has been praying to God. God, increase my patience. God, give me more faith. God, bring our family together. And we think, those are good prayers. And then in answer to her prayers, God comes to Evan with this ark idea. And of course, it all seems to go wrong. It's like, God, I'm praying to have more patience, and you are really trying my patience because my husband is building an ark in our backyard. This is ridiculous. I wanted our family to come together, but now our kids are the laughingstock in school. We are being split apart by this stupid ark. God, how is this an answer to my prayers? And then comes the moment of truth, if you will. The wife is at a cafe having lunch, and God comes to meet her. Well, Morgan Freeman is her waiter at the cafe. And Morgan Freeman, with his omniscient, all-knowing godness, comes to the wife and says, you doing okay? As if he didn't know, he's Morgan Freeman, God. So God comes to us too. It's not as if he doesn't know, but he does care enough to come close and say, you doing all right? Seems like you're struggling. Seems like maybe things are not going so well. And she opens her heart to Morgan Freeman, God, and says, yeah, things are a mess. My husband is building an ark. Have you heard of him? Oh, yeah, the guy with the ark. I like that story, God says. Tell me about it. And she pours out her heart. And then God says to her, Morgan Freeman, you pray for patience. Do you think God is just going to give you patience? You pray for trust. Do you think that somehow God is just going to dump trust on you? And if you pray for your family to grow closer together, and now you could see the wife's eyes kind of light up, do you think God is just going to zap you with closeness? Rather, when you pray for patience, expect that God will give you opportunities to practice patience. You want trust? God will give you opportunities where you have to practice trust because it's hard. And if you want your family to grow closer together, God might just give you a big opportunity, like an ark, a family project. Well, I won't spoil it, but let's just say that it changes her view on all this, and things turn out pretty well for Evan and his family. And of course, spoiler alert for us, things are going to turn out pretty good for us too, because the vision has its time. It presses to fulfillment. If it seems to delay, wait for it. It will come. It will not be too late. How blessed we actually are, brothers and sisters, when we are going through incredibly difficult times. And we know not only to cry out, how long? Anybody can do that. But blessed are we if we know, like Habakkuk, to cry out, how long, O Lord? If we know to go to God, what a blessing that in the midst of pain and suffering, we could do that. Because the only thing worse, I think, than being stuck in the middle of pain and suffering and every kind of calamity that the world can send, the only thing worse than that would be to be in that position and not know that we have a God that we can call out to who has a plan and will bring us through it. You know, I, like all of you, can look around and find all kinds of things to be upset about. And I don't mean to minimize that for a second. Our families are struggling. We have our kids that turn away from the faith. Our grandkids don't know the Lord, maybe haven't even been baptized. Work is a cutthroat environment where people take advantage of each other all over the place. We are struggling financially. We're struggling morally, perhaps in a way that our country hasn't struggled since its founding. I can't do anything to minimize that. But if we cry out to God, we know that He will give us the little signs of hope. If we ask God, increase our faith like the apostles do, He will give us opportunities to increase our faith. We just have to look for it. Sadly, right before Mass, I just looked at the news and I was talking with the little brothers before Mass, and there was a big shooting, I guess, last night in KCK, and right near the little brother's house, and they had a map on the internet of here's where the shooting took place, and then I couldn't help but notice that there's like three other places of business that were zoomed in enough to see, like a gas station, a restaurant, but right in the middle of this map of this shooting, it said Little Sisters of the Lamb, the cross on top of their convent. I thought, that's how God works. In the middle of chaos and destruction, when we want to cry out, violence, where are you, God? You don't intervene. God does intervene. Why are the little brothers and the little sisters right there in the middle of KCK where there's shootings and violence all the time? Because they say, we have to be there. That's where God wants us, in the middle of the mess and the violence, to bring God there. Why does God leave any of us in the midst of this pain? The little brothers, they run to the middle of this. They voluntarily live a life of poverty so that they could go reach the poorest of the poor in KCK. Why does God leave us in the middle of pain and suffering? So that we too would have that interior disposition of heart to turn to God, to say, God, I can't do it on my own. I think the worst place we could possibly be at is a place where we say, we've got it all. I'm fine. I don't need anything. People who think they are completely content with this life do not turn to God and say, oh Lord, how long? They say, yeah, this is good. Blessed are us. We, if we see it's not all good. Would that we could have the kind of faith like the community of the Lamb, that not only do we accept suffering when it comes to us, we actually want to run into the middle of other people's suffering to say, this is where God is powerful. This is where He works. So whatever is on your heart today, whatever prayers there are, especially if it's suffering, struggling, difficulty, good. Because probably you are right where God wants you. God wants to plant you in the midst of that suffering, not to run away from it, not to minimize it, not to say everything's really okay, but we turn to God most when we feel we can't do it. 9/11, 2001 was one of the worst days in the history of the country, but 9/12, the next day, was one of the best because everybody started turning to God in the midst of destruction and terrorism and calamity. So if that's what your world looks like, violence, destruction, how long, O Lord? I cry for help, but you do not listen. Trust that God does listen. He's a bit like Morgan Freeman. He's all-knowing. He's there. And He proposes the question to you. All right, you want trust? You want patience? You want God to increase your faith? Just maybe the pain, suffering, difficulties that you're going through right now is the little mustard seed that God wants to use to plant the future. Everybody wants the big happy ending at the end with the full-grown tree and birds come and make their nest in the mustard bush. Nobody likes to be a mustard seed, to reduce to nothing and planted in the ground as if dead. So if that's you today, if you feel like your faith has shrunk down and it's no more than a mustard seed and you're just like dead in the ground, blessed are you. That's what God works with. Right there, your little mustard seed. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. That's when faith really grows. When you can't do it and you tell God, that's it, I'm done, you're gonna have to do it. That's it. That's what God wants. So rejoice today to be little, to be a mustard seed planted wherever you are, in the middle of violence, strife. Hear Habakkuk then again. The vision has its time, God's plan. It presses to fulfillment. It will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not be late. If you are able to cry out today, how long, O Lord? Blessed are you. For indeed, it will probably not be long. And God will take your little mustard seed and build something great for you, your family, our city, and the world. That's the vision. Wait for it. Be patient.